The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I'm calling this one the Groceries Are Too Damn High Monday edition. Do you realize the Washington Post? Welcome to the big show, everyone. We got Rich and Aaron in the booth right now. You can always be a part, lightly screening your calls at 844-967-2789. So, gentlemen, welcome to you. Everyone listening to my voice right now, welcome to you. Happy Monday. And we will talk about the grocery bill. The high prices at the Sheboygan Piggly Wiggly could determine the outcome of democracy, small d, in our nation, according to the Washington Post. We're going to get there very soon. Clean up in aisle six. Also, Trump is broke ass, and I don't think it's the Sheboygan Piggly Wiggly making his ass broke, but the Attorney General of the state of New York, Letitia James. Ooh, he has announced he's too broke to make bond. No one wants to issue bond to this guy for almost $500 million. I don't think the court's going to have any leniency for his ass. You know, the beginning of the end of Donald Trump, because it's being revealed in stark terms. The man's broke ass. And, you know, he was lots of things that his cult leaders, or, well, I guess he's the leader, the cult followers, they liked a lot of things about him, but mostly they liked the fact that he was rich. Only maybe he's not. And we've heard rumors. Maybe he's not, but this is the most graphic evidence. The man can't make bail. So we'll talk about that. But he did make a move here in the state of Wisconsin. You know, they've been purging the RNC officials, both on the national level and also on the state level. Well, there's one you should keep your eye on. And she appeared in prior history here in the state of Wisconsin. And Molly Beck at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports the RNC's new election integrity counsel, Christina Bob, pushed false 2020 Wisconsin claims. Yes, she did. So the new election integrity attorney at the RNC is a advocate for the big lie in the 2020. And in fact, pointed towards the state of Wisconsin, specifically Dateline Madison. The Republican National Committee has hired an attorney to work on its legal unit focused on elections who has falsely claimed Wisconsin's 2020 election to be fraudulent and publicly pressured state GOP leaders to act on baseless conspiracy theories. You know her, you love her. She's Christina Bob, a former reporter for the conservative One America News Network, an attorney for the Trump campaign. Well, she was hired by the RNC officials in recent days as senior counsel on election integrity. The hiring was announced after the RNC merged with the Trump campaign. Is that what they're calling it? I'd call it more like purged by the Trump campaign, as Trump secured the GOP presidential nomination. The hiring raises questions. Oh, I have questions about how Trump and the national Republicans will respond to the outcome of the 2024 election in Wisconsin if Biden again wins the state's 10 electoral votes, especially as the RNC plans to hold its national convention in the state's largest city this summer. Oh, the old RNC MKE 2024? You don't have the bumper sticker? You should look. They probably have bumper stickers. In 2020, Wisconsin was central to Trump's effort to stay in power through an unsuccessful plan to have then-Vice President Mike Pence accept slates of false GOP electors and refuse to certify the election for Biden. That was the failed coup, the procedural coup. What happened at the Capitol, the riot? Well, that was the actual violent portion of the coup. Here's more. In a memo released this week, RNC Chairman Michael Whatley said that GOP's elections priorities this cycle, and here is what he claims, will include a broader effort over the coming months to challenge voter identification and signature verification rules which were put into place for the 2020 election. He's going to challenge voter IDs, like are they being stringently enforced enough, and signature verification rules, like did you have to go sign something during the pandemic? Well, if you didn't, you should. Here's the new, the RNC's new posture as it relates to this litigation will be an aggressive, proactive effort to ensure that it will be, and these words could have fallen right off of Scott Walker press release, so it will be easy to vote and hard to cheat. Whatley wrote, a spokeswoman for the RNC did not respond to questions about what the efforts would entail. The RNC's election integrity unit will be led by longtime Republican attorney Charlie Spies, who in 2021 pushed back against false claims of voting machine switching votes from Trump to President Joe Biden. Here's what he said then. I'm shocked he's still employable in RNC circles. I may get booed off the stage for this, but I have to say that simply not true, Spies said at the 2021 Conservative Political Action Conference, you know, the CPAC, while participating in a panel discussion. There is zero evidence. That's true. Zero evidence. Well, how is he going to get along with the aforementioned Christina Bob? Bob took a, as Molly Beck writes at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Bob took a different stance. That is quite an understatement, Molly. A different stance on the 2020 election, and in 2021 was sued by Dominion, a voting machine software manufacturer that was the most prominent target of false election conspiracy theories about the 2020 election. In the aftermath of the 2020, Bob also pushed false claims about Biden's victory in the Badger State and took aim at Wisconsin Republican lawmakers. Again, Republicans. A little red on red violence. Went after the red team for not doing more to litigate Trump's loss. Here's something she tweeted back on December 14th of 2020. That was the very same day the false electors, they showed up at the Wisconsin Capitol, clandestinely voted for Donald Trump, despite the fact the voters of Wisconsin had voted for Biden. Here's what she tweeted that day. All abbreviations for the states: Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, and New Mexico all had GOP electors cast votes for @real Donald Trump. Both sets of electors cast votes in these states. That preserves the POTUS's right to remedy fraud with his own electors. Interesting theory. And let's point out, December 14th, 2020, she knew in real time the conspiracy was going on. Now, I've alleged a couple times on this fine radio station and, you know, this radio show might be a criminal conspiracy. And here she is. She was right in the meat of it, if you know what I'm saying. Here's a quote. The Wisconsin Elections Commission intentionally orchestrated a criminal and fraudulent election. A little projection much? WEC needs to be dissolved immediately, she said on the Twitter in October of 2021. Recounts, court rulings, state audits, and a study by prominent conservative groups have confirmed Biden won Wisconsin in 2020 by nearly 21,000 votes. Yes, Biden won Wisconsin. Say it with me, CJ. Biden won Wisconsin. An RNC spokesperson did not answer questions about whether Bob still believes Wisconsin's 2020 election was fraudulent and whether the RNC also holds that position. In a public back and forth with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, you know that guy, Robin Voss, in 2022, Bob accused Voss of being either corrupt or an idiot for backing legislation to allow election clerks to begin processing ballots the day before Election Day to prevent the posting of voting totals late at night. She also called Voss, and here's a quote, a lying snake in the exchange. Damn, that's kind of harsh. I mean, I've called Voss a couple things, but never a lying snake. Voss, who has been the speaker for 10 years and represents the southeastern Wisconsin 63rd Assembly District, is the most effective Republican in the GOP-controlled state legislature. But he's faced criticism from members of his own party, especially from Trump, in recent years over his rejection of calls to decertify the 2020 election, which has been a... The fact that Molly's got to write this in her column is kind of tough. Which has been impossible for as long as supporters of Trump have called for the idea. A group is trying to force a recall election of Voss this year. Seems like they came up short. You have done nothing to secure the elections and making it easier for Dems to cheat. You're either an idiot or corrupt. Why are you pushing this? She wrote to Voss. On October 6th, on an appearance on Righty Whitey Talk Radio, WTAQ, October 6th of 2021, Bob said she asked Voss in an interview on OANN why he hasn't reviewed voting machines, ballots, and other election materials and used that were used during the 2020 election. In January of 23, Bob called Voss an impish little coward for not doing more to litigate the 2020 election. Damn. And this is what the GOP's new RNC attorney doesn't like the Robin Voss very much. You know, the purge is on at the RNC. What about here in Wisconsin? Now, a group headed by Bob also paid for a group of Wisconsin Republicans to travel to Arizona to see the Cyber Ninjas in 2021. That included State Rep Janelle Branch and, you know, her, Dave Murphy of Greenville, and Chuck Winkers of Muskego. They also made the track to Phoenix that year, paid for by Christina Bob. The new RNC Council. What a fine pick she'll make. Come back, Devil's Advocates. Nothing but fine radio. Here forward.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Crudy had a hell of a good weekend because the Badgers were on each and every day because they kept winning. They kept winning. And I love when my team's on a hot streak. So I hope you all enjoyed the games, and I hope you listened across the Civic Media Network. I always go to the WRJN on the Civic Media app. I listen there. You know, it's sort of our sports station. But I hope you enjoyed the game. And it was a little disappointing. We lost to the Flatlanders, lost to Illinois in the Big Ten championship game. But despite the outcome, my logic is you didn't lose any games. You know what I mean? Like, you played as many games in the Big Ten tournament, you know, short of not getting a bye, as you could have. And if your legs are a little wobbly 4 days in a row, well, that will be good training for a March Madness run. For an NCAA tournament run, the Badgers, seeded number 5, they got James Madison, the Dukes, the mighty Dukes, on Friday, playing this Friday, 8:40 p.m., my understanding. So I'm looking forward to that game. Going to party into this upcoming weekend. If they played on Friday, that means they will play again on Sunday after they dispatch the Dukes. I'm telling you right now, the Badgers are going to win on Friday night. You heard it here first, folks. So that had me feeling good about the weekend. And I was up at the lake with my wife, and I went to the local grocery store up in Washura, Washura County, in Plainview. I went up Sunday morning, got some victuals from the grocery store, and you know, took them home, and I cooked them at the cabin, just me and my wife. And then I felt bad. I hadn't seen my son in a couple days, so I drove home, and I went to another grocery store. And I want to make sure that, you know, I fed him well, because he'd probably been eating frozen pizzas and eating out of the clown's head over the course of the weekend, because Dad and Mom were not there specifically cooking for him, and he won't cook for himself. You know how teenagers are. So anyways, the groceries, they're getting damn expensive. And you might say, well, Crudy, what do you know about buying the groceries? No, I always try to cook at least 2 days a week for my family. That's my role. Typically, it's Sunday and Monday. I do the Sunday, you know, the Sunday night. Try to feed the family, bring them together, you know, before the work week, the school week, whatever we've got. And then Monday night, because, you know, Monday is a busy day and you got to feed them after their first busy day of the week. My son had no school. My youngest, apparently the senior high school had a gas leak today. He was so proud to tell me, Dad, no school, but it sucks. It was my short day. Meaning that as a senior, he's got very few classes today. If he was going to get the day off because of a gas leak at the school, he was hoping he'd miss more. I love how this kid thinks. He's very similar to Dominic in that regard. But anywho, I was feeling bad. Hadn't seen my kid over the weekend, not since like Friday. And so I came home and I decided I was going to cook a good. And what was yesterday? It was March 17th, St. Paddy's Day. I'm going to cook a good St. Paddy's Day dinner. So I went to the local grocery store, the Pick and Save, and I couldn't find any corned beef. That was a little disappointing. Apparently, I went a little late after the Badger game on Sunday on St. Paddy's Day. Apparently, a little late to go buy your corned beef. Learn that. I'll make mental note of that for future years. If you want corned beef, you better buy it before the day of at dinner time. So, okay. What else could I buy at the grocery store? And why I bring this up is the Washington Post is featuring an article right now about Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And they're basically putting forth this proposition that, you know, the prices at the grocery store are going to go a long ways towards determining whether Joe Biden wins re-election or not. That's what they sort of lay out, and they go through and they meet with a lot of different people. At the Piggly Wiggly, apparently they were doing interviews, so, you know, they featured the old style, the, I guess it's paper mache or porcelain, the pig out in front. It's very cute. They feature it in the Washington Post. And so anyways, I went to the store last night, and I remember thinking to myself, well, I can't make corned beef, but, you know, the son likes beef. I'll try to find some alternative. Didn't want to give him hamburgers, so I'm looking for some steak. And I find myself looking for the deal. Whatever the deal is, that's the type of steak we're probably going to eat. And I did finally find a deal on some tenderloin, which is not a cheap cut. And I did cut it up, and we cooked it into a meal. And I think he found it scrumptious. He came home and ate my leftovers. So, you know, I consider that a victory. You know, short school day and all. But the Washington Post reporting a vote for Biden or Trump could come down to the grocery prices. And I remember thinking, oh, damn, if that's the case, the grocery prices are kind of high. A little of the coverage here, I'll give you a flavor of the reporting at the Washington Post, not too much. And then I'm going to maybe give you a reason why the grocery prices are high. But let's set the stage. Dateline Sheboygan there, hey. The Schmengies out shopping at the local Piggly Wiggly. Don Moore stopped by the local Piggly Wiggly to pick up $6 worth of pork steaks last week and immediately remembered just how much she'd grown to hate grocery shopping. Everything is so damn high, she said, shaking her head at the 309 bottles of Coca-Cola. Good old Biden. Moore, a 54-year-old home health care aide, mostly shops the clearance aisles. Her $17 an hour paycheck, which ends up 80 cents in the last 2 years, is hardly enough to cover the basics anymore. She says there's no question she'll vote for Donald Trump again. Every trip to the supermarket cements her resolve. And as a side note, my wife, very, very interested and very involved in the home healthcare industry, the caregiver industry. Joe Biden's done a lot for caregivers. So this woman, clearly unaware that Joe Biden's trying to help her make more and be considered a professional and a valued professional in her workplace. But as she would say, look at the price of Coca-Cola, good old Biden. She went on to say, when Trump was president, there wasn't inflation. We could afford food. Ah, that's got to be the way it feels. The mood around the soda past aisle 9 of the Piggly Wiggly is a stark reminder of what matters most to Americans this election year. In poll after poll, voters say inflation and grocery prices in particular is a leading concern. That's true in this Midwestern manufacturing town, overflowing with well-paying jobs, rock-bottom unemployment, and some of the lowest gas, food, and housing prices in the nation. Kitchen and bath product maker Kohler and food manufacturers Johnsonville and Sargento Foods are all headquartered nearby, providing a steady stream of stable careers. The unemployment rate is 2.1%, one of the lowest in Wisconsin. Still, Sheboygan residents have one persistent gripe. As with everywhere in the country, grocery prices have risen 25% in 4 years, driving much of their economic discontent. Yeah, the only turnoff, other than perhaps the reffing, Tyler Wahl did not pick up that fifth foul. I felt bad for the senior. But, you know, the Badgers play on. They'll play this Friday night. But if you're trying to put a good spread on for the family, it's going to get pricey. Could. And Joe Biden is going to get blamed. But it isn't Joe's fault that the groceries are too damn high. Come back, more Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey.
Well, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Monday edition, the grocery bill too damn high edition. But the problem I have with this reporting at the Washington Post, and I've been reading from a piece, the Washington Post, on the front page, the digital edition right now, they're featuring interviews with people shopping at the Piggly Wiggly in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, Dear Hay. And it's so very clear that they're looking at the entirety of their political decision making through the context of their perception of the grocery bill. So a little bit more, and then perhaps some context, because they talk about the fact the grocery bills, they're too damn high, and people are starting to feel it. It's starting to affect their politics, but they never tell us why. Why are the bills so high? So I'll get there in a minute. Love to hear from you as well. What's your opinion? Have you been affected by the higher grocery bills? Of course you have. You've seen the higher bills. But is it starting to shape your politics? Question mark. Is it that big a deal? 844-967-2789. I want to hear from you, but a little bit more from the Post. And then maybe trying to answer the why. So the Post tells us, in interviews with more than three dozen shoppers at three stores, almost all cited high food prices as a major financial hurdle. Many said they were sticking with the candidate they voted for last time, either because Trump was better for the economy or because they valued President Biden's position on other issues like abortion rights. But nearly a third said inflation has led them to revise their opinions, and some were even considering voting for the very first time because of food prices. And as the Post is quick to point out, Wisconsin is one of six swing states this fall that will determine who's the next president. A poll released last month by Marquette University Law School, our pal Charles Franklin, he came on at that time, found the state's voters were split evenly between Biden and Trump, with 49% support for each. In 2016, the state helped clinch the presidency for Trump. 4 years later, it did the same for Biden. And grocery prices are amongst the top issue driving down Biden's popularity nationwide. Although food inflation is stabilizing, they write here, grocery prices remained flat in February from a month earlier, and some items such as rice, chicken, milk, and coffee actually got cheaper. But families are still experiencing sticker shock at the checkout line. Yes, they are. One statement from a food economist at Michigan State University, David Ortega, groceries play a significant factor in people's perception of inflation. We go to the grocery store every week, sometimes more frequently, and we feel those price increases every time. So, back to Sheboygan. In Sheboygan County, where the Piggly Wiggly is located, 57% of residents voted for Trump the last time around, which means Biden has a tougher job here than in other parts of the state. Yes, he does. Because if the grocery prices are up, it's more likely that consumers, i.e. voters, are going to feel like, well, you know, it was better under Trump. The inflation was down. The grocery prices were down. Well, it's not Joe Biden's fault. And there is no real context as to the why here. And I get frustrated with that. Where's the why? Why are your groceries still so expensive? Well, Forbes magazine, I got a little different piece. We're going to try to tackle it in a different way. 844-967-2789. Errol Schweitzer takes a crack at why the groceries are so much more expensive. Here's what they write. Grocery prices are 30% higher than 4 years ago. In the wake of World War II, the grocery industry was born to ensure a cheap, convenient, and abundant food supply. Decades later, the same industry leveraged pandemic-related supply chain crises to raise prices and reap enormous profits. Do you hear that? Enormous profits. All the while selling less food. Sustained higher prices are not only a burden on consumer budgets, but are also an ongoing policy failure by the Biden administration. Well, if it's a failure, the failure is not to break up the monopolies. The U.S. grocery industry is a $1 trillion behemoth, according to data shared exclusively by NIQ across all grocery categories in all channels of trade. Prices are up nearly 30% since 2019, while unit volumes are flat. So prices up, units flat. What does this mean? Average shoppers are spending more money and coming home with less food, and Ozempic has nothing to do with it. And despite the illusion of variety, most grocery categories are dominated by a handful of consumer packaged goods, CPGs, companies that own troves of familiar brand names. Soft drinks provide a textbook example of CPG domination. The top three companies, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, and Keurig Dr. Pepper, control 90% of the soda market. Three companies, 90% of all soda sales. Overall, soda sales are up 56%. Unit volumes are down 2%, and prices are up 59%. Did you get all that? Sales are up mostly because the price is up, not because the units are up. In quarter one of 2023, Coca-Cola prices were up 9%. PepsiCo, 16%, while unit volumes were down 2%. PepsiCo most recently posted a 21% rise in operating profit to, let's call it, around $1 billion, with 6% volume decline after double-digit price increases for seven consecutive quarters. As an executive bluntly stated, I think we're capable of taking whatever pricing we need. Do you get that? Here's more. Kraft Heinz dominates the packaged cheese category. We know something about cheese in this state. at 65% of the market share. Category unit volumes are up just 6%, while prices are up 21%. That's exactly the intention. Here's what Kraft Heinz CEO said. We are not going to be chasing volume. We're going to be looking to drive profitable volume. That means you folks paying more. Here's more. In 2023, Kraft Heinz profits skyrocketed from $225 million to $887 million, an increase of 448%. Gross profit margins reached 34% over quarter three of 2022. So they pay for everything and they're netting 35% off the top. That's a pretty hefty margin for ketchup. Their profitability up 448%. Similarly, chocolate candy sales are up 34%. Unit volumes are down 8%, and prices are up 46%. The top three companies, including Hershey's, Mondelez, and Mars, possess over 80% market share. Hershey's CEO said in 2022, prices will be an important lever for us this year and is expected to drive most of our growth. Hershey saw a 62% increase in profits in 2021. Hershey's 30 brands control 46% of the candy category. So you're starting to see the underlying culprit here, right? These are grocery monopolies. These are monopolies. And they know you're buying less, but you're paying a hell of a lot more. And they're seeing skyrocketing profits as a result. Thanks to you, the American consumer. And who gets the blame? Well, hell, it's Joe Biden. Joe Biden gets the blame. What a sweet deal. It's never the CPGs. It's never these massive corporations. They get the blame. Box cereal sales are up 17%. Unit volumes down 12%, but prices up 33%. More inflation at the grocery aisle, right? The top three brands, General Mills, Kellogg's, and Post Holdings, possess over a 70% market share. Here's a quote. It's been surprising how resilient the consumer really is, meaning how stupid they are, how willing they are to pay the higher prices for the same products and goods, and now more and more of that money flows to the bottom line and presumably the paychecks of the chief executive, still Steve Kalhalan. And he said all that as it's written here without a hint of irony. And beef demand is highly elastic as prices go up. Volumes go down, according to NIQ. Beef unit volumes are down 14%. So there I found myself at the store yesterday looking for a good deal on beef. Trying to feed the kid, you know, grown boy. Want to give him some protein. So volumes are down 14%, but prices have gone through the roof. Beef is up 50% in 4 years. The average beef price per pound is now over $7. It wasn't the Impossible Burger or cultivated lab meat that killed demand. And no wonder the top four meat processors hold 50% market share. Tyson Foods doubled its profits from 21 to 22, dryly stating in an earnings call, you know, the earnings call, because they're publicly traded. Our pricing actions, which partially offset the higher input cost, led to higher sales during the quarter. Did you get all that? That was a dry way of saying, even though the price of production went up a little bit, we jacked the prices so much, we made robust profits, let's just say. Diaper unit volumes are down 12%, while prices are up 38% to over $13 a pack. I remember when my kids were small, I can't even imagine. They go through diapers constantly, right? Every hour or two. Procter & Gamble and Kimberly-Clark control 70% of the domestic diaper industry. P&G prices have stayed high while lower input costs drove 33% of their profits. The brand predicted a $800 million windfall and an executive recently mentioned, we continue to believe that the majority of that growth will be price-driven with a negative volume component, meaning if you jack the prices, you might lose a few. But people still need diapers, so what they gonna do? Indeed, what are they going to do? Here's one more, and then we're going to the phones. The grocery bill's driving you nuts. I'd like to hear from you at 844-967-2789. The NIQ data also articulates an important pattern. Further processed commodities show higher price spikes than their base ingredients. You don't say. It's like they're sticking it to us. Milk unit volumes are down 5.8%, and prices are up 24%. While yogurt unit volume is down 10%, but the price is up over 47%. Yogurt is also heavily concentrated as an industry with top four companies, Danone, General Mills, Chobani, and Lactalis, processing 70% market share. So we got these massive grocery monopolies. Every industry, be it meat, be it dairy, be it cheese, be it diapers, and they're making more and more money because they aren't bringing the prices down. Why'd they tell us they're raising the prices? Supply chain issues. Higher costs, right? Only their costs aren't higher. Yours are. Their profits are blowing up. They're getting rich. Their stock price going through the roof. But you, the consumer, you're taking all the heat. As we always do, the working folk. We do all the work and someone else gets rich. So, if you're looking for someone to blame, just do me a favor. Blame Biden for not breaking up some of these monopolies, perhaps. But it's no responsibility of the president to set the pricing on aisle six. Come back. Your phone calls could be next. 844-967-2789.
Big and tall of political talk, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. Dom joining soon. You can join right now live via phone, 844-967-2789. The grocery bill too damn high, Monday edition. But the context not offered at the Washington Post, and they are featuring Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and the shoppers thereof. And they're talking about this, like, this issue will drive the electoral outcome in one of the few swing states, Wisconsin. We're a swing state. It matters what happens here. But what no one seemingly is talking about is the price fixing. And I'm going to get to the phones momentarily. Please be patient. Alex Turnbull, again, I referenced this Forbes article, a commodities analyst echoes this. When you go from 15 to 10 companies, not much changes. When you go from 10 to 6, a lot changes. But when you go from 6 to 4, it's a fix, meaning the prices are being fixed by the major monopolies. When each corporation owns a third of the market share, 25% of the market share, they implicitly fix the prices. And the record profits, according to a Professor Weber, Groundwork Collaborative recently found that corporate profits accounted for 53% of the 2023 inflation. They likewise concluded that over 51% of the drastically higher inflationary pressures of 2020 and 2021 were also the direct result of profits. Profits straight to the bottom line. Profits for the corporation. They raised the price and they netted the money to their bottom line. They're sticking it to you and they're blaming Joe Biden. And the Kansas City Federal Reserve even pegged this at around 40%, indicating that sellers inflation is a pretty mainstream idea. Sellers inflation. It's got a nice ring to it. If you're a mega corporation sticking it to the American consumer, and then what? The politicians get blamed. Joe Biden's fault. He should have broke us up. He should have been smarter because we've been sticking it to you people. 844-967-2789. Bob from Madison, you're first. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Oh, yeah. Can we blame it on Archer Daniels Midland or something like that? The president a couple years ago mentioned that the top nine shipping companies had increased their prices 1,000%. That's 10 times as much. I mean, it's all the pandemic, you know. I mean, oil pricing after the war peaked, so the war and the pandemic. It's all these external issues that are maybe going to give us the worst president ever again. That haven't helped.
Well, they are external, but they're also specific profit-taking agendas by these corporations, Bob. I mean, they know what they're doing. This is not the higher cost of oil at this late hour. They've already baked all that into the cake. The supply chain stuff that's been solved or that's been priced in. When you start seeing corporate profits up 50%, sir. Well, yeah, but at some point, the consumer has to revolt and say, you know what? I'm not buying Hunt's ketchup anymore. I'm not going to buy Heinz. I'm gonna buy generic, or I'll go to McDonald's and steal a few packs out of their ketchup machine. Appreciate your call, Bob. 844-967-2789. A couple of Erics try to sneak you in this hour. Eric from Lodi, you're first. What do you got for us?
Yeah, hey. So the reason I think that the Post might be sort of missing the whole monopoly angle is you got to look who owns the Post. That's Jeff Bezos. He owns Whole Foods through Amazon. So, I mean, I think that's sort of baking it into the cake right there. I work in a industry, I'm not going to say what, but our sales are down, but our profits are up just because of this profit taking. So I guess that's all I really got to say. It's happening across the board, not just groceries.
Well, I have no doubt that people are taking higher prices if they can, but typically, when you think about growing a corporation, you think about growing the sales. What these examples and my sources, Forbes, is telling us, it's not actually increasing the sales. It is purely taking profits, using the cover of a pandemic first and foremost, and then using the ongoing market climate to continue to stick it to the American consumer. At what point is it profiteering? Don't we have limits? Is this the government's role? Question mark. 844-967-2789. Eric from Wanakee, welcome. What do you have? Eric.
Hello.
Yeah, sorry. You're up, Eric. Welcome.
I actually work in the consumer packaged goods industry. And what you're talking about is absolutely true. Never let a good crisis go to waste, and prices only go one way up. One of the biggest issues that gets baked into everything, you mentioned it, is energy. There was a great article about 15 years ago called The Energy, the Oil We Eat. And it is, if you look at how the energy industry operates, it is an oligopoly, just like all the food industry is, and they work lockstep together to raise prices. They, you know, they only drop their prices when they absolutely have to. And one of the ways that people can really fight back against all of this is to buy the most raw, basic kinds of food. So we have a wonderful little market here in the Madison market called Woodman's. And I was there this morning, and you can get green beans, raw green beans, for 99 cents a pound. You can buy the most raw foods and prepare them yourself. If you're buying processed and prepared foods, you're going to get shellacked. That's just all there is to it.
And Eric, I've seen a few rumors in the paper. They're also ungodly unhealthy for you, the processed foods.
Oh, the worst. The worst. You know, just salt, the amount of fat that's in the product. So, you know, do yourself a favor and cook for yourself at home from the most basic kinds of foods that you can get, and you'll save a lot of money.
Eric, appreciate your thoughts. We are the Devil's Advocates. Makes you want to start a victory garden in the back. Have to see if I can do that. Don't have much of a green thumb, but I'm worth giving it a try. The groceries, they're too damn high. We'll talk about it. Donald Trump, broke-ass Trump, can't afford groceries, can't afford bond. Gonna rub it in. Feels better when it's a supposed rich guy that can't pay the bills. More Devil's Advocates. Dom joins next. You can be a part as well. Two more hours for your listening pleasure. 844-96-PARTY.